Rump steak. Purged aubergine.
Yes.
Egg. Frittata. Ah, trick question. That's an asthmatic rattlesnake. Okay. Vinyl.
What's cooking on 95BFM?
All right, here is an interview that I did with Nash, the keyboardist for Wooden Ships. I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago about the Wooden Ships' brand new record, V or 5, I'm not sure which one it is.
5.
But it's sort of been a long time between records for them, nearly 5 years, and I just had a chat to him about what it's like to be in a band with members who sort of have got life outside the band, and how they come together and how they make music nowadays. So here it is. Is there anything that you could sort of put your finger on which has sort of led to you guys creating such good music?
I think there's a few things. The first one is, you know, we've been playing together for just about 12 years, and the first 3 or 4 years we spent a lot of time rehearsing and jamming, and, you know, we'd be playing shows as well, but and putting out records. But, you know, everyone lived in San Francisco at that point, and we would get together once or twice a week and just got really comfortable playing together and kind of defining how we wanted to create music that, you know, during that time period. And so now when we get back together, you know, it might take a little while for us to get back into the groove, you know, but we kind of draw back on that experience of when we did play together a lot, and it comes back pretty quick, and we're able to, just kind of tap into that for inspiration. And so when it comes time to record now, you know, we're serious, and we rehearse really hard, and, you know, and just, you know, want to do it well. So I think it's, you know, it's just a combination of putting in the hard work at the right time, and having those breaks where we're not doing anything gives us space just to, you know, grow as people and as musicians. And, you know, I think that allows us, when we do come together, just to do it all that much better.
How is it with the band being sort of separated by distance, everyone sort of living in different places? How does that affect the creative process now?
It's the only thing the only way I think it really impacts it is that we can't be spontaneous. You know, we have to plan things out a little too much. So, you know, there were times when when we all were in San Francisco, and we could just, if we were got together on a Saturday afternoon or something and we liked what we were doing, we had a tape machine in our practice space, and we would just, you know, hit record and you know, write new songs that way. Or if someone else was like, hey, you want to, you know, work on a, you know, put out a split single with us, or add a track to a comp or something, you know, we could just get together and do it. And so, you know, that's like the main thing that has changed. It's just when we do get together, it's less spontaneous, and we have to just be really focused on putting together, you know, finding the right time and energy to put into that project that we're going to work on. But, you know, it's but yeah, I think really just because we did used to rehearse so much that we, you know, everything else is there. It's just, you know, it's just the spontaneity is not there.
How did the recording process work this time around, and where did you do it?
We did it in Portland, and that's where Ripley and Omar live. And so Dusty and I are both here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And so we would go up there. I can't remember if we went up there probably like 3 times over a month or 2 months to rehearse. And then we did like a week in the studio, and by that time we knew pretty much how we wanted everything to sound, but you know, in the studio it's just, you know, things take time, things go quickly, you know, it all kind of depends on each song. So, but you know, we try to usually get the recording done like in a week, you know, so that includes most of the, I mean, that, so basically on this time it included everything but the vocals and the lead guitar. Mm. And then Ripley was working on those at home over the next month, I think it was, or something like that. So, yeah. You know, it really was, but yeah, I'm trying to think what else was happening when we were recording.
Did you, you guys sort of dropped it down a notch, it seems like, kind of vibe-wise. Was that a really conscious decision?
Yeah, I mean, part of the idea was to make a, you know, an easygoing, light, summer feeling record or something, you know, something in, along those lines. So we did just try to keep everything kind of laid back, and we wanted it to be, yeah, just, you know, a little less heavy, and you know, we've had a few songs here and there that kind of were a little more spacey, and we were trying to bring a little bit of that back to it. But at the same time, it's like, when we play live, it's really hard for us to not go into our, you know, just heavy, full-on rocking mode. So even if the songs are a little, you know, lighter, or, you know, I don't know, just, you know, mellower or whatever on the record, it's like we can't do that live. We just rip into them really hard, I think.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing how cohesive the album is. I've been listening to it on my commute to and from work for like the last 2 weeks. It's sort of grown and grown on me, and I can't believe how everything just sort of flows so nicely straight through the record. Was that hard to achieve?
Yeah, probably it was. I mean, I give a lot of credit to you know, the mixing was done by Cooper Crane, who is in Bitching Bajas and Cave, and he's you know, he's someone we've been out on tour with and stuff, and knows our music really well. And I really think that when he was mixing it, he added, you know, the right elements, or, you know, kind of assembled everything in just the perfect way to not only, you know, give it that space, but also the consistency throughout the record.
So have you guys got huge tours lined up? Or no, not really, just sort of a week here and there, a week.
Our biggest commitment right now is we're going to go to Europe for, you know, like 3+ weeks or something in September. Mm. But like, yeah, we're struggling to find the time to, you know, we're going to be out for the next 10 days or so. And, but then through the rest of the summer, you know, everyone's got things going on and we're finding it hard to fit in other shows, you know, so we're, you know, like at this point, we still don't have any plans. We don't know when we're going to go play, like, on the East Coast in, you know, like New York or Boston or Philly or whatever. So we have to do that at some point, but we just haven't gotten that far with our planning.
Of course.
You know, but we're hoping, you know, maybe in the later of the year we can, you know, maybe head over to Australia, New Zealand.
Yeah,
or,
that's the spirit.
Yeah, you know, it's, I don't know, the other times we've been, or, you know, maybe it'll be, yeah, either the end of this year or sometime in the beginning of next year, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's time to get it nailed down, but we're, you know, we're working on that. But yeah, it's just kind of hard, because none of us can be like, all right, for the next 3 months, let's just see what we can do, you know, it really is a little bit here, a little bit there.
Of course.
Thank you.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke to Anton Newcombe from the Brian Jonestown Massacre. And obviously, he's sort of got a connection with San Francisco. Would you say that him and his band sort of laid good foundations in like the sort of mid to late 90s for the current new wave of psychedelia?
Yeah, I definitely think that happened. I wasn't necessarily aware of it at the time, but looking back, it's definitely true, and it's amazing like how many people will come up and tell us like, you know, all their favorite bands and you know, that's definitely one that's on their list, you know. Mm-hmm. And we'll get, you know, Black Angels and Brian Jonestown and you know, I don't know, I can't think of any others right now, but like and sometimes it's just like people who, you know, find us through Spotify, you know. Mm-hmm. From those playlists or whatever, and it's just sort of like, you know, it's definitely one of those things that I'm becoming more aware of all the time, like how some, you know, how these other bands have helped to, you know, bring attention to us and help us attract fans over the years.
Hmm. How would you sort of, I mean, you've been playing As the Wooden Ship since about 2006. How would you describe the journey to date?
Oh, excuse me. I don't know exactly. You know, it's been really easy and fun. That's the main part of it. You know, it's like, you know, when we started, we were having fun playing together, and we, you know, we're like, all right, let's play a show. Let's record some stuff, and every time, you know, we would do something like that, you know, another door would open, and we would just keep on doing what we were doing, and we didn't necessarily worry too much about the success, just about having fun and having you know, making music that we wanted to hear, you know, making music that we would want to listen to, and you know, and we'd found that other people liked it as well. So it was just, it's always just kind of been about having fun and just being creative and not worrying about everything else in a lot of ways. So, you know, when we don't, you know, it's like we, you know, there are definitely times when we've turned down opportunities that would have been good, but we don't dwell on that. We had reasons, you know, someone was planning something, you know, someone in the band was going on vacation or, you know, had some other obligation. And it's like, okay, that's fine. We're just going to keep on, you know, working for something in the future. And it's just been, people have always asked me like, you know, how long are you going to keep this up for? And it's just like, and as long as it's fun and we're enjoying each other, it's going to keep happening.
Mm. It seems like you guys definitely tap into, I don't, you know, like a near kind of mystical, you know, realm with the four of you playing together. There seems to be something really special there. Where does the magic seem to come from?
Yeah, a lot of it is just being really comfortable with each other and, you know, totally trusting each other. And I think we all have, and I think we just all, you know, we all respect each other. And so it just, you know, all those elements just, I think, help to make good music. I think if there was someone in the band who was really hard to get along with, it probably would be, you know, it would poison it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's one of the things that keeps us going is, you know, especially like we went out on tour in 2016 for a couple weeks in Europe and but hadn't you know, been playing together for a while before that, and it was just like everyone got together and it was great and we were having fun and you know, we were actually in Europe when the US presidential election was happening, and you know, we were all kind of like not very happy with the results, and you know, but it was great to be with those people for that moment, you know. It's like we're good support for each other in tough times. So I think that's what makes, you know, I think that gets reflected in the music on some level.
I mean, obviously it's been a really strange couple of years politically, and I'd read that you guys had consciously tried to inject some optimism into the new record. I mean, how does one go about that?
I don't know exactly. You know, it's just kind of just trying to be cheerful and positive, you know, and it's hard to be optimistic right now, but you just gotta keep at it, I guess, you know. I think the main thing is just how it translated into music is just, yeah, it's just trying to make it, you know, trying not to dwell on the horrible things in the world and try to reflect on the positive things and the beautiful things and see where that brings us.
Now, you guys, obviously, you do get out and play with quite a few other bands and play some pretty big, interesting festivals like Levitation. Is there anyone out there that is really rocking your world musically that you've seen recently, either in the Bay Area or out on tour?
I don't know if I have a good answer for that.
This is like always a hard question when you put someone on the spot.
At Levitation, I actually saw so few acts. I'm trying to... Yeah, I can't think of anyone right now, but yeah, usually in San Francisco, like, I see when friends' bands are coming through town, I go and see them, but I haven't been going out and seeing enough music recently for me to even think about anybody. Oh, yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, so there's one band I did see this last winter. I think they're from New York, and they're called the Sun Watchers, and they were like one of those bands I was like, that I was like, all right, when we get to New York, we got to try to play with them because they are doing something that's really special. So that's the band I'd be most excited to play with at the moment.
Okay, fantastic. Now, it's sort of been about 5 years between, was it 5 years? How many years has it been between albums, between Five and Back to
Yeah, our last album came out at like the end of 2013. So it's like 4.5 years between records.
Okay. Obviously, because you guys aren't together all the time and continuously making music, do you have expectations that you will make another album in the future?
I'm assuming that we will. Yeah, okay. It's all, you know, we haven't talked about when that might be, but in my mind, you know, it would be great to do one next winter. You know, after we do some more touring and stuff. You know, my ideally for me would be to, you know, have a bunch of new songs together that we could be playing out live, you know, over a month or something, or over a couple of weeks on the road, and then come back and go into the studio, because I always feel like after we've been on tour for a while, we really get into, you know, we really get locked in together in a special way, and it's just, it's really hard to, you know, it's just really hard to jump to that point when you're not playing together all the time.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so like, yeah, in my mind, it would, you know, it'd be great just to say go to Australia, New Zealand next, you know, January or February or something, and then spend March doing some recording and then have another record ready, you know, but we'll see how it works out.
That was Nash from the Wooden Ships, the most cosmic looking one, probably, the zany looking keyboard player.
What a nice guy. I hadn't listened to that for a couple of weeks, and it polished up quite nicely, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Pick up this record.
Golden Flower.
That, of course, is Wooden Ships. That interview was with Nash of the Wooden Ships. Wooden Ships, in my book, get 5 gold stars. Everything they have put out is top-notch. New record, no exception, a bit more chilled out, but just as good as anything they've ever put out beforehand.
You might have heard Nash mention a band that he liked that he saw one time called the Sun Watchers. We've gone and plucked a little tune of theirs. Okay, 2018 release. This is Nose Bears.
That was What's Cooking on 95 BFM.